Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Father, we stand here thankful for a risen Savior and the hope that this day brings. Thank you for the gift of your Son and the life that he brings this day. From this place, in this room, to homes in this city and around the country, to churches around the world today, we join saying that your Son is indeed risen, and we give you worship today. Father, we are standing here in awe of your sacrifice, that you would send your Son to live, knowing that he would be killed, but that he would conquer death. We stand in awe of that sacrifice. We are so grateful for your love, for your grace, for your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you. We pray for those today in this room or hearing this message that are struggling with life or with the reality that seems so distant from your power and your forgiveness and your love. Speak to that person today. Speak into that home. May this Easter for any of us, for all of us, not be just something that's just another Easter, but help us to respond with a deeper love and a broader obedience that would truly change us and through us change the world around us. We give you our worship today with grateful hearts. Speak to us in this hour, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, welcome again to First Nazarene Church. We are so excited that you have joined us to celebrate Jesus's resurrection this Easter. Thank you for being here, especially if you're new. Like Brian said, please know that you are immediately a part of the family, and we are so glad that you are here. My name is Galen. I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm really excited for today. I love Easter. I don't know how you feel about Easter. I love the holiday. I love to celebrate it. And I think Easter means different things to different people. So today I simply want to ask you the question, what does Easter mean to you? What does Easter mean to you? We do a lot of things around this time. Maybe Easter for you means bunnies and candy. Maybe that's already happened this morning. Maybe for some people it means egg hunts, whether you grew up with them or you're creating memories for your kids or grandkids by doing so. I've obviously found out this weekend especially, parents are not good at hiding eggs. I just want to throw that out there. They're not very good at all at it. Yeah, maybe it means that for you. Maybe for you and your family, it means getting dressed up, getting a new dress, grown, manly, muscular men wearing pastel colors. It just feels different. I said that last night and immediately looked down. I was like, dang it, I've got pink on. Shoot. Yeah, anyway. Maybe for you, Easter is about an amazing meal. You get that perfect honey glazed smoked ham. You get the pineapple with the toothpick stuck into it. It's beautiful. And I don't know what's on your table, but beside it, you got the cheesy potatoes. You got the eggs. You've got lots of different sides. Again, I'm not sure what's on your table. And while we're at it, can I just correct something really fast? If you have deviled eggs at Easter, first of all, no, this is not his day. These are Jesus' resurrection eggs today, okay? Can we all agree on that? That's a thing now. We just made it up, but that's a thing. For Easter, a lot of us, it means time for church. But why? Is it just a tradition that we've held? Is it a family obligation? And if so, that's okay. Like, we're really glad you're here. But I'd say, I think there's so much more than that. If we lean into this story today, maybe it can teach us something new. Now, I recognize even in preparing for this, probably 98% of you know exactly what we're going to talk about today. It's the Easter story. It hasn't changed. But if I could just like take a second away from the message, just outside of it, if you're someone who comes to church maybe a few times a year and you know that something's off in your life, you know the Easter story, you've come, I would suggest to you that I think maybe what you need to go deeper in is either community or your faith. If you want to get next steps, get people around you that care for you and want to see your life changed. In my role here at the church, I love doing the teaching, but I also am involved in our processes and connecting people. That's what I'm passionate about. So if you're new here, first of all, let me say this. This Wednesday night, I want to deliver pizza to your house and simply have a phone call with you of who you are. We do this all the time. It's called Pizza and Connect. Deliver at your doorstep. We jump on a call and simply get to know each other a little bit more. Maybe that would be your step to dive a little bit more into community. Maybe if it's diving into faith, beginning tomorrow, I'm going to start a group where we read the book of Acts together. It's just one chapter a day. It's not much. And we talk about it. So if you've got questions of what this means, we talk about it together. It's Acts is what happens right after Easter. Maybe for you, that'd be a great next step to say, I'm going to go deeper in my faith. Or finally, especially if you're new here, I would encourage you to engage with this place. Over the next 5 weeks on the weekends here, we're going to be talking about the resurrection of Jesus on Easter, but how that means hope in the midst of death, fear, disappointment, discontentment, doubt, and failure. These are pretty heavy subjects, things that we may not talk much about in society or much in the church. But we believe that our society and our individuals are in a place right now where we need hope, maybe more than ever. Maybe you'd commit, hey, I'm going to keep showing up around this place to maybe see what God could do in my life. All right, back to the message here. What does Easter mean for you? I couldn't help but think this week, there's a massive disconnect between how we prepare for Easter today and how the first disciples would have prepared for Easter. Picture it. I don't think the disciples were walking around, hey, Peter, did you get your pastel pink robe ready for this weekend? Did you get your teal green Birkenstock sandals ready? No, he didn't. Hey, Thomas, did you go get the ham? Oh, we're Jewish. Nope, never mind. We're not eating ham this weekend. They probably didn't have any bad jokes about eggs either. Instead for them, Good Friday was not so good. Instead, it was a nightmare. Picture it. Thursday night, Jesus gathers with the disciples and what's their last meal together. And he says some things that maybe frighten them a little bit. Jesus, what do you mean by this? What's going to happen to you? Then he's arrested in the night. He's handed over to the authorities and got him rung up on false charges. It looks like he's going to be executed. The disciples would have had a thought, is this really happening? We followed him around. He's done miracles. Why do people want to kill him? Is this happening? We read from scripture, two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with Jesus. When they came to a place called Golgotha, or the skull, they nailed him to a cross. Criminals were also crucified, one on his left and one on his right. By this time, it was about noon, but darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. The light from the sun was gone. Suddenly, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn down the middle, and Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. Jesus died. The disciples had to be shocked. The one in whom we've placed our hope and trust and left our lives behind, he's dead. They were walking in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. Luke 22 says, this is the hour when darkness reigned. When you read this story, you realize the political leaders, the religious leaders, everyone was conspiring against Jesus. It's all as if darkness and evil had come together to do its worst to God. And he is dead. And darkness reigns. Trying to picture for us today, can you imagine being at the foot of the cross as Jesus dies? I think the only thing maybe to even compare it to is sitting in the hospital and holding a hand of a loved one who passes away. Standing at the funeral, standing by the graveside, thinking, can this be it? Is this all that there really is? This doesn't seem fair. Death cheats us. And we don't talk about it, and rightfully so, because it's one of the most painful things that we will experience in life, losing others. It robs us of relationship. It steals our future. Death reigns. But when life seems its darkest, this is the hope of Easter morning, because we will all experience this darkness. When life seems its darkest, look up for the light, look for the sunrise, and look to Jesus. We know this isn't where the story ends. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, as the light begins to break into the darkness, they go to the tomb. On the way there, they were asking each other, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the midst of the entrance of the tomb?" As they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, but he isn't here. He has risen from the dead." Immediately, these women probably were confused. "What do you mean he's risen from the dead? People don't come back to life." But then they begin to see, maybe Jesus is who he said he is. Maybe he is the Son of God and the Son of Man. Maybe that even though evil and darkness has done its worst, that God has overcome even the grave. You see, they had a worldview just as we do, that at the end of time, God would come. Death would be done away with. He would finally conquer death, sorrow, weeping, all these things would be done away with. And he who is seated on the throne says, "I'm making everything new." But in that moment, they had to see what happened, what we thought was gonna happen at the end of time, it's happening right now. God has come. He cared too much to not just let us live in the darkness, but to save us from it. Anything that evil throws at us, including death, which is its most powerful tool, has been done away with because Jesus has conquered the grave. This is hope. We have a new hope because of Easter morning. And today I think there's two different kinds of hope we can learn from in this story. And the first is a hope beyond death. Jesus' resurrection is the deposit, the down payment, the guarantee that there is life after death. When we stand at the funeral and we wonder, is this really it? It's because God has put something within us to tell us, no, this isn't the end. There's so much more. But what if we could live our life now in relation to that? And we don't need to fear death or what's on the other side of it. Statistics would actually say that 42%, one out of every two people in this room or while we're watching online, is afraid of death. And this is a weird question, especially for Easter, that nobody ever asks you. But if you actually stopped and pondered and considered, what will happen to me after I die? When will it come is always a question that always makes us fear. We know it will, but what will happen to me? Today, I want to say that you do not need to fear death. 1 John says that perfect love, God's perfect love, drives out all fear because fear has to do with punishment. If we're afraid of death, maybe for one reason, it's because I don't know what God's going to say. Like, have I been good enough? But the New Testament says it's not a matter of being good enough. It's a matter of God's grace. When you believe, he saves you by his grace. And so you say, "God, I know you. You love me. I love you." So that when I meet you face to face, I have no fear. In fact, I'm excited to see you. I've been talking with you, walking with you, and now I get to see you face to face. There's no fear there. I think the other reason why we're afraid of death is, well, what happens to my loved ones? But if we love God and he's given us the picture of himself as a loving father, we can trust him with those that are left as well. And I get it. It's one thing for me to say, "Listen, you don't need to be afraid." It's another thing to say, "Yeah, but how do I actually live that out?" And I want to say that when you see it lived out with someone who's walking with Jesus, it is so powerful and it is real. It's a hope that changes the way that we live. I think of a man who's a part of our community. His name is Paul. And 2020 was a year, and it was tough for probably all of us, just with new rhythms and routines. For him, it was hard. High school boys learning to learn from home and the struggle that has been for parents, figuring out work differently, all that. But at the same time in 2020, he was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. He began, in his own words, to be filled with fear and dread. Walk through the house and see family photos and simply weep. He called his buddy, who he knew to be a man of faith, Dean. He said, "Dean, what do I do?" And this was last July. And so Dean was like, "Actually, my church is about to open back up. You should come with me." And so they came, I think the first Sunday that we were open in July, and I came in a little late, actually went over and sat in the overflow in Cerrado, and he heard this good news, that Jesus has overcome death and the grave. He offers us forgiveness, mercy, and new life, a changed life. He changes our hearts from the inside out to live differently. And he said, yes, I want this relationship with Jesus. So he marked at the end of the service, we do text in, and you just say, I've made a decision for Jesus. Because of that, we were able to begin the conversation to follow up with him, to help him on his journey with this new life. He began to meet with Brian and had Bible study with Dean. He would call Brian from time to time, and the two of them would talk or meet in person too about family, faith, life, and death. And one time in November, he finally called Brian, and it became evident this was probably the last phone call. And he said, Brian, I'm thankful for the church, thank you, but I'm thankful even more for what Jesus has done for me. He took me from dreading and fearing death to now I have a peace and I have a hope that I'll see Jesus. Within 24 hours, he passed away. You see, that change of heart can change how you live now. You don't need to live as a slave to fear. Instead, you can live in peace and in hope. Scripture explains it well of why Jesus needed to die. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We sing a powerful song that says, on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. O trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. It's taken from this verse. Death is swallowed up in victory. This is Easter Sunday. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For the sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory instead of fear. Jesus is the hope beyond the grave. But secondly, for us today, that maybe you think that's far off, I would say this. Jesus is the hope for a new future right now. Let me ask you, what does it look like to live with hope? Can you picture someone that's a hope-filled person? What does it look like to live without hope? When I thought, what does it look like to live without hope? This is just the way my brain works, and I understand some of you may be upset with me for this, but it's just the way my brain works. What does it look like to live without hope? In 2015, I'm living in the Chicagoland area, and I'm like, a people that are hopeless, geographically centered, maybe more on the north side of the city. Maybe their team hasn't experienced an ultimate victory in about 100 years. And then I saw this, and I have to share it with you. Hey, Dad, what's a World Series? I wouldn't expect you to know, Simba. You're just a cub. Oh, I know. I got a few comments last night. I'm sure I'll find a few emails as well. That's fine. But that's living without hope. Man, we've never done it. Can it really happen? Nothing's ever gonna change. There's no way we could really do it. We can believe, but it's not gonna happen. But then obviously I have to be nice. 2016 comes around and all of a sudden Chicago looks like this. They win the World Series, they're very excited. Woohoo, yay Chicago. It's so exciting for the Cubs fans. And they begin to hope again. We won this thing. It was 100 years, but we can actually do it. We don't have to be disappointed every year. We can actually win. We're a championship caliber team. There was a new hope that says we can actually move forward. For us, what does it look like to live without hope? There's a beautiful story from Scripture I want to share with you that reflects the same light and dark of Easter morning. The disciples were gathered with Jesus. Jesus fed a very large crowd of people, and then he sent the disciples away. And Jesus, late at night, goes up into the hills to pray by himself. Late that night, the disciples were in the boat in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. He saw that they were in serious trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and waves. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. I want you to notice how this scene is one of darkness. You see all of these different things. First of all, it was already late at night. The disciples were away from Jesus. That would picture being alone and in the dark away from him. And they were in the middle of a lake. Oftentimes in scripture, when you see water, it is the symbolism of chaos. There is no order here. Evil runs the day. Chaos has its reign. They're in the middle of a small, probably fishing boat. In the midst of this chaos, Jesus was away from them. About 3 o'clock in the morning, darkness reigns. And they're rowing, they're paddling, they're trying to save themselves. But honestly, there's not much hope in this scene at all. For other people that have been in vessels or boats in the middle of the dark, it's the very reason why we first invented the lighthouse. And since then, the lighthouse has become the symbol of hope, a symbol of safety, and a symbol of direction. This is the way, come here. See, when people would sail across the Atlantic from Europe to America, it'd be 20 to 30 days journey, and they would go 3,000 nautical miles. But unless there was a lighthouse in the last 2 miles, unless they could see this light, things would turn disastrous. Without a light and a point of reference and point of where to go and a place of hope, they would hit rocks, they would hit the sandbar, the boat would break in two, cargo would be thrown overboard, people who may not be able to swim would be tossed into the sea and drowned. Lighthouse was a symbol of hope. If you've ever been in the midst of the darkness, maybe like the disciples, and life is doing its worst to you, you're being rocked by the swells of the sea in the midst of the chaos. Maybe you've even thought to yourself, is there hope beyond today? What's the point of all of this anyway? I am in darkness. We need to look up to see the light. You know that hope can't come from within you. It has to come from somewhere outside of you. So when the story continues, the disciples look up. They don't see a lighthouse, but instead they see something different. Again, at 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. He intended to pass them by. I want to pause right here for a second. When I first read this story, he intended to pass them by. What does that mean? Does that mean that they're in the midst of struggling and tragedy and they don't know what they're going to do and Jesus was just going to leave them there? Go past them? Yeah, I told you to go to the other side of the lake, so I'm going to go past you and get there and look back at you and say, why are you struggling so much? I told you to do this. Do you just need to try harder? Is that the message here? I began to do a little study into this and I realized this is actually a fantastic translation and use of words if you know your scriptures. Think about this. To pass by them. When Moses stands at the bush, says the Lord passed by him to reveal himself. 1 Kings 19, when Elijah's on the mountain, the Lord passed by him to reveal himself. This is a theophany, which just means the transcendent God that we think is somewhere out there is choosing to draw near and to reveal himself in a way that we can see it's him. So you see Jesus coming at the very darkest hour, 3 o'clock, intending to come near to them to reveal himself, walking on the water. He has lordship over the thing that is chaos itself, to reveal himself to the disciples. When they saw him walking on the water, they cried out in terror, thinking he was a ghost. They were terrified when they saw him, but Jesus spoke and said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. The I Am is here." And then watch this. This is good. He climbed into the boat. And when he climbed into the boat, the wind stopped. You see, when Jesus steps into the boat, hope and peace enter. If you're in the midst of the darkness and you're not sure what to do, call out to Jesus, because when he steps on board, that is when hope and peace enter. And maybe your situation doesn't change. You don't even know how to explain it, but our response is the same as the disciples. They're simply amazed at what Jesus has done. This is the hope that we need. You see, when Jesus steps on board, this is one of my favorite verses, the resurrection of hope, the Spirit enters into our heart. It begins to change us and transform us. We have this radical hope, and this hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. You see, sometimes when Jesus steps on board, he begins to change everything. The wind and the waves stop and life just seems to go in a better direction. That's amazing. Sometimes when Jesus steps on board, the wind and the waves keep going. Nothing changes, but there is a different hope that's placed within us. It's the anchor that goes down deep, that even if we get swayed by the sea, we're still anchored in hope and faith in a God who loves us. It's a hope that's an anchor for the soul. Because Jesus can change us. So what we do is to call out to him. Matthew says Jesus' name will be the hope of all of the world. For us personally, when we call out to Jesus, we can receive the forgiveness of our sin and our guilt. He can bring freedom to our addictions. He brings wholeness instead of shame. He can heal within us what has been scarred, restore relationships that have been broken. He gives us belonging instead of isolation, purpose beyond just living, an identity of telling us who we are rather than us trying to be someone who we think we are. Jesus brings hope instead of despair. For me, I know this weekend people come into this place, and most of you, you don't really know me. You don't know my story. You don't know the small rural town in Kansas I'm from. You don't know the decisions that I made that landed me in a very different place than where I am today. In fact, if I told you my story, you would probably not believe it, that I would end up being a pastor. You see, the person I was someone who lived for myself, doing whatever it was that I wanted to do. And it left me hurt. It left me broken. It left me blaming other people. I was selfish, and because of that, it hurt many others. And there came especially one moment where I realized, why am I living? What's the purpose? There's no hope in that place. Knowing the scriptures, because I grew up in church at least, I knew this story of Easter. And in that moment, it wasn't even like, Jesus, I'm all in for you. Jesus, I'm all in for the church. I want to live all that. I was just, Jesus, I know I need a change. And you say you can change hearts. God, I need my heart changed. I'm tired of living for myself and in my sin. So Jesus, I look to you and ask for the light to come in. When I did so, Jesus began to change and transform my heart. And it happens in a moment. But when you walk with Jesus, he changes your future too. And I was thinking about this message, and 8 days ago, I'm sitting on a beautiful beach in Naples, Florida, thinking about how does Jesus change our future? And I felt like God said to me, so Galen, if I don't change futures, think about this. Where would you be if you didn't start to follow me? I sat there for a moment. I was like, probably still be alone, even though I was in the midst of people. Probably wouldn't have purpose. I'd probably still be an addict. Probably find my way to another jail cell. I would be without hope. And Jesus, I felt like he said to me, so look up. And I look up and I see the beautiful scene. I see my two little adorable girls. I see my adorably feisty wife who's filled with grace, who I don't deserve. I see the life that God has put out for me for these last 10 years. I said, God can change our future more than we could ever ask or imagine if we simply walk with him. There is hope for us. If you need forgiveness, come to Jesus. If you need hope, Jesus is waiting. Today, what does Easter mean to you? To me, it means hope. Jesus is the hope that goes beyond the grave. He sets us free from the fear of judgment day. It's not a hope that's empty or leads us astray. Instead, it's a firm anchor for your soul for each and every day. It's possible because of what was done on the first Good Friday. He took our sin and erased it and took it away. Now he offers forgiveness, mercy, and grace because of Easter Sunday. So Jesus stands waiting with arms open wide. He's the doorway, the pathway, the gateway, and the runway to a new and better life full of new hope and new future that can begin today. Hope is found here, and Jesus is the way. Will Easter 2021 for you be about bunnies or a meal, just another year of tradition forgotten? Or maybe it would be the start of something new. A new day and new hope in your life. Maybe a time where you come to Jesus or come back to Jesus and say, I need to get real about this. This isn't just about church and religion and how I go. This is about knowing a God who loves me and knowing and living for him. Could you come to him and say, God, I'm calling on you, whose name is the hope of the world? Or maybe for you today, it would simply be to believe that hope is alive. God, could you change in my life the things that I think can't be changed? My heart that is cold and hard and my negative outlook on life, help me instead to see hope that you can change me, you can change my kids, that you can change my parents, that you can change this world. Help me to believe in the resurrection hope again. Would you bow your heads and pray with me today? Jesus, we are thankful that in the midst of our darkness is the very moment where you choose to draw near to us. God, when we think we couldn't be any further from you because of what we have done, that is when you draw near and you stand beside us. So God, today, if we are living in this world without you and without hope, you know, scripture says that we were dead in our sins because we lived far away from you. Yet even then, you loved us this much, and this is how you showed your love for us. That you sent your one and only Son, that if we would believe in him, we would not perish, but we would have eternal life. God, I think of the words of Romans that simply say this: because of this amazing thing that you have done for us, if we would declare with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, and if we would believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, then we would be saved. So God, maybe today individually, there's people in this place or online that say, I need you, Jesus. I need to come back to you. I'd like to start a relationship with you. In these moments, we say, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. Jesus was the Son of God, raised from the dead to give me new life, new hope, forgiveness, and grace today. God, forgive us of our sin. Lead us in the way of everlasting life. Show us the light and the way forward, and let this hope enter into our hearts through your Spirit. And God, for all of us today, give us a new hope that we would see Easter breaking out among us. Just as winter gives way to spring, may we see new life being brought out of our hearts and brought out into our homes, to our workplaces, to our neighborhoods, and all around us. God, let us see your hope this Easter. We're thankful for what you have done for us. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.